Good morning, everybody.
Good to be here with y'all. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in God's house one more time.
I've been thinking a lot lately and about the temple of God and some other things, and the Lord has showed me something that I want to bring to you. I know we're coming upon Easter season, and praise God, this coincides with that as well. But I have just been really blessed this week. This week, studying on this, and I tell you, I just really feel really good about it. But if you would, turn to Matthew 27. If you would, Matthew 27. We're going to start with the 51st. Now, I'm going to do some other scripture, but I'm not going to read them as we stand this morning. But I am going to read Matthew 27. If you would, when you get there, please stand, and let's read verses 50 through 53. Matthew 27. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city, and they appeared to many. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Lord, I want to come thanking you, Father, again one more time. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you give us, Lord, to guide and direct us each and every day of our life, Lord. I praise you for that. Lord, I want to thank you for your Son Jesus that died upon the cross, and Lord, for the salvation that you've given us, Lord, that freely have given us. And Father, we just praise you for it all. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to go with every heart and every mind here today, and we ask it all in your Son Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. I said earlier, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, without a doubt, to me, and I know you all agree, is the most significant thing in human history. It's the most significant thing any of us could think of that has happened to any of us. And what a just and righteous God, what he did with his only begotten Son, that they willfully did that for us. That should make every one of us just stand up and just shout the house down here this morning. For what he willfully did for each and every one of us. It amazes me. When I read down through the scriptures and I see exactly what he has done, and he willfully did that, and what he suffered for each of us, man, I tell you what, it can't make but help us to just stand and praise him in our hearts and in our minds. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, because sometimes I wonder if we truly understand what he's done. I mean, what he did willfully. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Right? Man, we say this all the time, but out here in the world, they do not understand. They can't understand. They cannot understand spiritual things. But to us, we should understand what he did. And 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Because understanding requires a spiritual revelation and a human logic. Quite frankly, before I was saved, I could not logically think about this in the way that I did after the Lord saved me. And again, as I say, even as Christians sometimes, do we truly understand? Do we truly comprehend? Ephesians tells us this. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. That's the only way that we can comprehend, is through the love. And with all saints, what the breadth and length and depth and height. What he willingly did on that cross amazes me. And it should you as well. Sometimes we go into this season and we just think about, we just sometimes just go like we're on autopilot. But take a minute to think about what he really did on that cross for you and me. That he is willingly to do it. Now, I'm going to look at some other scriptures this morning as I get into the main part of the sermon. My simple title of my sermon this morning is The Veil. And I want to talk about the veil this morning. I don't know if you know it or not, But in the temple of God, when they built that temple, there was like, John MacArthur said this, and I haven't really checked, but I believe John MacArthur, because he's pretty smart. He said there was like 12 to 13 different veils in the temple. I did not know that. And I've got to look at it. But the one I want to talk about is the main one this morning. And that is the veil that went into the holies of holies. That's what I'm going to talk about here with you this morning. But first off, let's start in John 19:30. Give you a minute to turn there, and this is what it says. Amen. Say amen when you get there, please. Because this is important. This goes right along with John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, say it with me, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Three of the most significant words in the Bible, if you're a Christian here this morning, and if you're lost here this morning, it is three of the most significant words for you as well. If you take this statement just at face value, what Jesus is saying, you would think, well, he was dying, and that was it. Well, that's true. He did say it, and he did die when he said it. But brothers, this goes deeper than any of us could really, than any of us we should comprehend. It encompasses a whole lot more. It is finished in the Greek word, tetelestai. It is accomplished. It is completed. When Jesus said it is finished, he actually meant that the dispensation was about to change. Can I have an amen here this morning? When it is finished, he meant that the old way was done. Praise his holy name. The new way was there for each and every one of us. When Jesus said he completed, every detail of redemption was made available to me and you this morning. He said the old covenant was about to become obsolete and fulfilled in him. In Hebrews 8:13, it says this. He saith, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes already vanishes away. Brothers, what the law couldn't do, praise his name, when he said it was finished, it accomplished just exactly what was needed to accomplish. Amen? Listen, brothers, no matter what you think or say about it, the law could not save me or could not save you. It could direct us in the way that we need to go because it said it is the schoolmaster. But praise his name, when it comes down to salvation and you being born again, it takes Jesus to do it. And can I say something else here this morning? If you look at everything in the temple, if you look at everything in the Old Testament, what does this all point to? It points to Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. The old agreement, the Old Testament, the old law, the old requirements, the old obligations, they're over and done. When he said it was finished, it was over and done right then. And a new covenant would begin. And at the cross of Jesus Christ, it is finished. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Listen, in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, I'm lifting up Jesus today here this morning. I want you to understand that. You may have heard this 1,000 times, but if Jesus Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. He will draw everybody unto him. It isn't Dave Long. It isn't nobody else in this church. If we bring Jesus Christ into it, he will do the drawing through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is finished. If you're sitting here lost this morning, depending on your goodness, on your church attendance, on your good works, or your mom and dad, or your grandma and your grandpa to get salvation to get you through, listen to me this morning. Therefore, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men. That man is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You could come up here and shake my hand all you want to. I can't get you to where you need to be. You could go to a priest and you can tell him everything you want to tell him, but that doesn't get you where you need to go. You need to go to the mediator. You need to go to the one that stands in the gap between us and God. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Can I tell you something here this morning? Listen to me. If you do not accept Jesus as your Savior, I can't help you. God can't help you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to go through Him. If you don't do that, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sin. He did it once. He's not going to do it again for you. The plan of salvation is finished, and the Bible says it's for whosoever will. Whosoever will. Look at Matthew 27 beginning with verse 50. And Jesus, when He had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that were asleep arose and come out of the graves, and after His resurrection went into the city and appeared to many. Then go over to John 19 and it says this, 32. Then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and of the other which were crucified with Him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that He was dead already, and they brake not His legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came out blood and water. What a scene. Just think about what those people saw whenever He died upon that cross. My Bible tells me from noon till about 3 o'clock, it said that the earth was dark over top of them. They said the earth was dark. He said it, and they try to explain it away. They try to say, listen, God did what God did. Don't let men try to explain anything away. They try to say eclipse. They try to say this and that. Listen to me. God could not look upon the sin that was placed upon Jesus Christ. He covered the earth in darkness. And at that very moment, God reached down, and my Bible tells me, into the temple, and He tore the veil in two. You want to know how spectacular that veil was, the veil that went into the holies of holies? It was 60 foot tall, 30 foot wide, 4 inches thick, and weighed about, and they say it weighed somewhere around between 25 and 30 tons. Think about that. 300 priests it took to maintain that thing. And they said, you know what they would do? They would change that thing out every year. And whenever they changed it out every year, you know what they would do? They'd first bring it out, and they would get it held up in the light so no light could come through it, because no one could see into the holies of holies. And you know what they would do then? Then they would tie 2 yoke of oxen to it to try to tear it in two. And 2 yoke of oxen could not tear it in two. But you know what my God did on the day that Jesus died? He reached down with His 2 fingers and He tore that thing right in two. He tore it right in two. And that is significant. That is because, listen, these high priests had to go through a ritualistic cleaning to get into the holies of holies. Praise God this morning. Do you know? Praise His name. You can go now boldly to the throne of grace. You don't need to. You just need the cleaning. He opened up the way. Man alive, we should say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because it was one of the... Listen, when they went back, only the high priest could go back into the holies of holies once a year. Man alive, we can go there every day if we want to. But he could go... And if he went back there and he had one spot of sin in his life, he would die immediately. They said they tied a rope around their waist. They put bells around the hems of their garment. And whenever the high priest went in there, the people that stood outside listened for the bells to ring. And if they quit ringing, Tim, you know what they did? They jerked them out of their dead. You didn't go in there. You did not go in there unless you were perfectly whole. None of us in here are perfect. But praise His name. Jesus allows us to be perfect this morning. We can go to the holies of holies. What a fearful life that would have been back then. Could you imagine coming out, that great high priest coming out and saying to you, Greg, come on, let's go back in here. It ain't going to be me. But praise God, whenever that veil was ripped from top to bottom, you know what? We could go to the holies of holies. Amen. Amen. Jesus is telling us, whosoever will. Hey, anybody else want to go in there? If the Gentiles wanted to go in there, the Gentiles couldn't go in there back then. That was for the Jews only. Praise His name. Jesus made a way for me and you. He made a way for the whole world. Amen. Folks, the veil was rent. And Jesus cried out, "Whosoever will." Jesus said, nobody is unworthy. Nobody is to be left behind. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great scripture? I didn't have to wait to the Day of Atonement. I didn't have to wait for a priest or a high priest or the Pope or anybody else to go back in and say a prayer for me. I got on my knees myself and I could pray for myself. Amen. Because Hebrews chapter 10 tells us Jesus replaced the veil. Do you know that? That's why that veil is important. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Whenever they beat Him beyond recognition, whenever they beat Him and put that crown of thorns upon His head, you know what they did? They were taking Him and ripping Him apart. And when God opened up the veil, Jesus Christ stood in His place. And praise God, when we go to the holies of holies, we go through Jesus. That's who we go through. Jesus has cleared the way by the sacrifice of His blood. He is our priest before God. He is the body. He is the veil. He is the curtain. The veil kept man away from God. Jesus opened it up for us. That's what He did. Listen to me. Man could not go behind that veil and meet God. But praise God, no human could go there. No human being could do that. And yet, there was Jesus who stood between us and God. Praise God. For there is one man, one mediator, between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And God said, no one can go unto me unless the blood has been applied. And can I tell you, if the blood has been applied to you today, you can go into the holies of holies today. Praise His name. And God said, no one. But we can go there because Jesus is that veil. Because He is. We can go because the veil is His flesh, and it was rent from top to bottom. God didn't remove the veil. He split the veil. He didn't take it out. He split it in the veil. And Jesus said, you can come through me. You can come through me. Can I tell you something here this morning? If you're sitting back here today and you think that you're not worthy, can I tell you something? Jesus says you are worthy. He loved you enough to go and suffer what He did so you could be worthy. People can put so many things in their minds. And the Lord has given me another sermon on this somewhere down the road. But it's about things aren't what they seem. Amen. Things aren't what they seem. The devil can deceive you, make you think things are not what they are. But I want to tell you something here this morning. Praise God. I serve a God that can go above and beyond. And He did. You are welcome to come into the presence of God. You are privileged to call Him Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, He shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. I want you to know something right now. If you're born again, you are a son or daughter of God right today. God is your Father. Amen? And listen, He's a good Father. He's a good Father. He's a good, good Father. Amen. Praise His name. Folks, we could not get to heaven in the condition that we were in. I couldn't get there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even in our best day of life, we were damned to an eternal hell without Jesus. You know that? We were damned. Even every good deed we've ever done could never move us one millimeter closer to God. Not one. And there was one who said, you can go in my righteousness. We realize that Jesus died for you and me. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but His isn't. And we go through His righteousness. That's how we go. But there was a veil that was rent, and there was a Savior that was crucified. There was one who said, you can go in my righteousness. You can have my holiness. You can go to the Father through me. And anyone who calls on Jesus and trusts in the finished work of the cross can go boldly to the throne of grace, because that veil was rent. That veil consisted of three colors. I want you to understand this morning. There was three colors in that veil: blue, red, and purple. There's a reason God does everything. It was scarlet, but it's red. There's three colors. God is the one that gave Moses the instructions to do what he did. You know that? Everything that in that temple that was in there pointed to Jesus, including this veil. And he had to follow every instruction to the T, because everything about the temple, everything about the tabernacles in the wilderness pointed to Jesus. All the furniture, all the tapestry, all that went inside, all the construction, everything pointed to him and only to him. That was the whole point of the temple. God was trying to teach his people that they had to trust in somebody else, not their own salvation, not the law. You know, not any of that. Listen to me. How would you like to get up this morning and kill an animal before you come to church? How would you like that? You had to kill an animal. How would you have liked to have done that here this morning? How would you have liked to? There was only one time a year that you could go to church. Praise God. We should be thanking Him with all that we got. That's done away with. That's done away with. Listen, in Exodus 26, 31, God tells Moses this: and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work with cherubims that are made. Blue, red, and purple. That's what he made it of. Now, I got to looking into that. And I've been studying on the temple. I'm going to do some teaching on that here, Lord willing, sometime down the road. Throughout the scripture, you know what blue represents? Now think about this. Everything is for a reason. Blue represents heaven. Blue represents God, the heavenlies, sons of God. It represents that. You know what red represents? It represents sinfulness. It represents the weakness. It represents the lonely. It represents all that. That's what it means. Now get this. Jesus became both. Did you know that? Now think about this. He became both. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. He was God incarnate. Amen? And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us. He put all the sin you and me could ever conceive of, he put it on him. Said it made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, what? In him. This brings me to the third color, which is purple. How do you get purple? You mix red and blue. God, Jesus was both. And they both of them represent the purple in the veil. And when God ripped the veil, praise God, he ripped Jesus apart so that you and I can have salvation this morning. Can I have an amen this morning? Hallelujah! That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. That's how you get purple. All this stuff is not done just by haphazardness. He didn't allow them to pick out the colors. God knew what he was doing. The Son of Man, the Son of God, came boldly in bodily form. Jesus, the incarnate one, the Holy One. He was the perfect union of man and God. For that reason, he is worthy to take our sins. He understands everything about us, doesn't he? He understands everything about you and me this morning. All the ins, all the outs, all the bad, all the good. He understands everything about us this morning. And he hears our prayers. I want us to see how intertwined all the scriptures was. If you go back to John 19:1, after Caiaphas delivered Jesus over to Pilate, listen to what they done. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And when they did that, what did they put on him? They put on him a robe of purple. You don't think any of this stuff, that they thought they were doing it to him. There's nothing he could do. Because I'm telling you, they beat him beyond recognition. They thought they were mocking him. They thought that, listen to me, nothing was done without God giving them the privilege to do it. And I thank God this morning, you know what, that my Savior, our Lord and Savior, took it all for me and you. Isn't that amazing? The Son of Almighty God. He could have called 10,000 angels. One would have done the job. He could have called 10,000 and wiped their miserable lives off the face of the planet. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He stood there. He knelt there. He bled there. He prayed there. The Son of God who took on Adam's sin and let them mock him. He allowed it because the Scripture said he had to. In Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He's our example. Sometimes we get upset if somebody says some little thing to us, and they mocked him and beat him, and he opened not his mouth. God spoke, and just to show you and I that he meant business, just to show he business about redeeming man, he not only allowed a Roman soldier to throw a purple robe over his back for the payment of the sin of the world. Isn't that amazing? Part God, part man, combined together, brothers and sisters, to be the perfect sacrifice for you and me. The payment for the sin, and is represented in that purple robe. Even those who beat him and spit on him and mocked on him and crucified him, you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man alive, isn't that something? Our Savior. They can talk what they want to about all these other gods out here in the world. But you know what? Praise God. We have one that walked the walk, talked the talk, did what he said he was going to do, and praise his name, is sitting at the right hand of God this morning to make intercession for me and you. As worthless as you may seem this morning, God loves you. It is finished. All the rituals were destroyed. The veil destroyed. It signified that Judaism was dead. An obsolete religion was gone. Just like any other religion that does not believe in grace, brothers, it is gone. It was gone. Praise his name this morning. Aren't you glad for the grace of God this morning? None of us would be here this morning without the grace of God. He should have done away with me years ago. Praise God for his grace. None of us had to get up this morning and kill an animal to come to church. We don't have to check the calendar to see what day of the year it is. Whether we go to the Day of Atonement, whether we get our sin taken care of, we just got up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And brothers and sisters, let's be glad in it. Be glad in, maybe snowing out there, and maybe doing this and doing that. But praise God, we're on this side of the dirt this morning. We're on this side of the dirt, and praise his holy name. Aren't you glad this morning that you could come? I don't care about listening to me. I don't like listening to me either. But praise you that we could come and worship a God that is able to do above and beyond everything else we could do. Praise his name here this morning. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, say it with me. Ye shall be what? Free indeed. You are the child of the Most High God. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Yeah, I my mother's name's Thelma. But praise God, I am a child of the Most High God today. I stand before you. Thanks be to God that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ was beaten beyond recognition and was willingly went to that cross so that you and I can go and spend an eternity with him. Doesn't sound like a fair exchange, does it? He took all the beating. He took all the sin. He took all of it. And all we have to do is accept it And we get to go to live in glory. Isn't that awesome? Thank God for the veil. Thank God for the veil. Belinda, come get a song for me, please. I don't know about you this morning, but I tell you what, I am thankful that we have a God, that we have a Savior like that. I'm thankful this morning that the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts to guide and direct us. Help us to understand the Word. Amen. Amen. All right, they get a song. If you got any need this morning, please come.